Dear Gwinnett Church.
Dear Gwinnett Church.
Dear Gwinnett Church.
I wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. To the volunteers of Gwinnett Church, who pull wagons, greet us at the door, and welcome us into Wambaland. Thank you.
I wanted to write to say thank you for giving me the chance to spend the past 4 years with two of the most amazing small group leaders ever, MJ and Mary. High school is tough, and I can't imagine what my experience would have been like if they weren't a part of it.
I'm very thankful for Sean, who helped me as I moved to Buford. Sean recommended I attend Starting Point, where I met Jeannie and Bob. They've been amazing. They've loved me and helped me right where I was. And because of their influence, I've signed up to volunteer and recently got baptized.
This past Sunday, on our way to the car, my son noticed that we had a flat tire. Before I could even blink, three volunteers were fixing our tire and sending us on our way.
I can't tell you how grateful we are for McKenna. It's difficult with a special needs son to find a church that would partner with us until we found McKenna and Gwinnett Church. Our son is now in a room designed specifically for him that allows us the opportunity to go serve and for him to be invested in as well. From the time we found out we were expecting, Steve and I have prayed for the people who would enter Claire's life. From day one, she has been loved on and invested in by each one of you. We are overwhelmed with how specifically you have cared for our family.
My life is forever changed because of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sincerely, Ryan.
Isabella.
Chris.
Jessica.
Amy.
Claire.
When I see that video and other videos like it, a lot of memories come to my mind. One of them is our very first informational gathering for Gwinnett Church. I'm not even sure if we had a name at the time, but it was at Ippolito's Swanee Town Center. They have that little, I like to call it the upper room. That seems like appropriate for a church plant. And there are a few people that showed up that night, but we simply just had an idea and a dream, and that was to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. We wanted to create a church that inspired people to follow Jesus. And so that night, we talked about what the future could be, and we had them fill out cards to say that they would volunteer whenever we launched the church, and we asked them to go ahead and give financially so that we could go over to the Gwinnett Center, which is what it was called at the time, and begin to tell them that we wanted to put a down payment for 3 months to launch our church. And over the course of these 9 years now, almost 9 years, so many of you have joined in, and now we have two locations. I want to say hey to Gwinnett Church, Hamilton Mill. And what you've experienced and what you've done over these years is really remarkable, but it's, I think, maybe exemplified by a financial principle, if you will, called compound interest. And I love this idea of compound interest, because basically what compound interest, and you know this, in fact, Albert Einstein calls this the eighth wonder of the world. And the simplest definition for compound interest is simply this, that it is interest that you earn on interest. That basically you have a little bit of an investment, but over time, as the interest in this builds and builds and builds, 10 years, 20 years later, you look up and go, wow, look at the investment that this has made. Now, the thing with compound interest is it's not just a financial principle, it's actually a kingdom principle. And let me explain this. So that when you take your wisdom and who you are and your life experience, because all of you are so gifted and wise, what happens is when you invest in someone's life, that's a really cool investment. But then what happens is they take your investment and turn around and invest what you invested into them to someone else. And then that person takes that investment, turns around and invests with someone else. And over time, that one investment that you had in that one person multiplies over and over and over again. Now, you know how this works in terms of your gifting and your life experience and the wisdom. And this happens all throughout our church at both locations. But what I want you to see today is something that I think is an incredible invitation, an incredible opportunity for you and me, not just about the good things that have happened in our lives. Because what you begin to discover in the kingdom of God is that God actually can leverage your scars. That what you begin to understand about the kingdom of God is that God can actually leverage your failures, your disappointments, your tragedies, and your heartaches. And today, I don't want to diminish that, because the reality for you and me, and I'll just pick on me, there are things that have happened in my life that I wish I could hit a button and avoid. There are tragedies, there are heartaches, there are mistakes that I have made that I wish I could hit the button and just avoid all of those. The reality for you and me is that that button doesn't exist. You have the scars, I have the scars, and you know how this works. Sometimes life does something to us, and sometimes we do something to our lives, and yet the reality is that there are scars, there are pain, there's disappointment, there are failures. And in those moments, can you relate to this question? Have you ever, in these moments, you've ever gone through something in your life and wondered, why, God? Or God, why? Why did I go through that? Why did I experience that? Why did you allow that to happen? Why have I experienced this pain, this heartache? Or God, what do I do with the regrets and the failures, if you will, that I have done to my life? But what I want to invite you into is this remarkable principle and this remarkable truth, that the same way compounding interest works with the good things about your life, and the success and the wisdom you have, it actually works maybe just as more powerful with the scars and with the failures and with the disappointments. And in that moment, God begins to show us that even in that, he can bring glory and comfort and hope to other people. Here's what I've discovered in my life, and I think this is true not only in my life, I think this is true in the scriptures, and I think it's true with you, that when it comes to God, God marks across some of our days, "will explain later." Will explain later. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. And when you look at the situations and the circumstances, and again, at both locations, not trying to diminish what you've been through or going through. Not saying it's you just should get over it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there's no button to push to let us avoid it. But there is an opportunity for God to leverage this so that in those pains, in those scars, in those failures, in those regrets, here's what you and I can say, that even so, even with that, God can use this and gain glory from it. And even so, I wish I could have avoided it. I wish I could hit a button, but knowing that I can understand and experience that even so, that difficulty, that heartache, wouldn't want to go through it, but that was time well spent. Now, as your pastor, I just got to let you know, I hear this over and over again. It's why my respect for you is immense. Because I know your stories. I've preached the funerals. I've heard the email, I've heard the phone calls and read the emails. And you get to these moments and you go, you know what? I wish this wasn't part of my story. But you know what? I'm so glad that I was actually able to walk through this with my Heavenly Father, because not only did he change me, he began to use it in someone else's story. So today, I want you to see how this works. And the reason I want you to see how this works is I want to invite, there's a call to action, because there is a way for us to experience this so that God can not only use the really great things about you, God can actually use the things that many of you have already determined that there's no way that any good can come from that. And what I want to invite you into is to let you know that the power of the living God can even take that and say, just trust me, I'll explain later. So what we're going to do for just a few minutes today, obviously today's been a little bit different. So grateful for our team at both locations. I'm going to read you a letter. I'm going to read you an email, and I'm going to show you a video. And we have three pastors or preachers here today. One wrote us a letter. One wrote us an email, and one recorded a video. And what you're going to see is their experience of how God used things in their lives to comfort them, that they began to discover that the same way that God comforted me and grew me up is now the same way that I can comfort someone else. And over time, that compounding interest, as difficult as that heartache and scar is, God actually used it for his glory, for your good, and for their comfort. So here's the letter I want to read you, the author of this letter. Here's how this letter begins. This author is named Paul, the Apostle Paul. First or Second Corinthians, rather, chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And I just got to stop here to go, many of you know Paul's story. This statement alone, a man who actually persecuted and gave permission for Christians to be killed and persecuted, he's now saying, those things that I thought was going to defeat Christianity, now I am an apostle of this same Jesus. Just this sentence shows us of the power of God in anyone's life. So he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints through Achaia. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says this, grace and peace to you from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just pause. This is a little bit of a side note. I just want to let you know, if this is your first time here going at church, maybe this is your first time back in church for a long time, maybe you've determined that because of something in your past, you can't know God. What this man wants to tell you, because he experienced personally himself over 2,000 years ago, is that grace and peace is available to you through Jesus Christ. What that means for you is that if there's something in your past that you think has disqualified you from the kingdom of God, what you have to understand is that whatever that thing is actually qualifies you for a savior, actually qualifies you for grace, actually qualifies you with the peace of God. What that means is that when you place your faith in Jesus, you can walk out of here today knowing that you have peace with the creator of the universe. And so Paul goes on, grace and peace to you. And you have this grace and this peace to us from Jesus. And then he says, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So what Paul is saying here is, hey, I know you got some scars. Hey, I know you have some heartaches. Hey, I know you have some regrets. But the God of the universe wants to comfort you in all of that. And for many of us at both locations, you're suffering right now. And maybe one of the reasons God has you here today is to let you know that the God of the universe wants to draw near and comfort you today. But as great as this is, it doesn't really give us, you know, a lot of hope in the sense that God's actually going to do something with this comfort. But that's why these next two verses, actually next two words, are so powerfully important. It's these two little words, so that. That God's going to comfort you in those trials and heartaches and scars. God's going to comfort you, but there is a purpose for that. And here's the incredible purpose. What Paul is letting us know is that those things that we may have determined and concluded that there's no possible way any good can come out of that, Paul is saying, whoa, don't forget the God that you're dealing with here, that he's going to comfort you. One of the reasons he's going to comfort you is that grace and peace is to you because he loves you. But there's even a larger purpose. That God, the God of compassion and the God of comfort, is going to comfort you so that, and here is the so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So what this means is that scar, that difficulty, that tragedy, that thing that you wish you could hit the button and avoid, that the way that God comforts you, there's a reason for that. He loves you, he's for you. But in that way that God comforts you, then at some point in your story, and I don't know how this works, but I tell you, I see it and I hear it all the time, that when you turn around, there's gonna be someone who's facing the exact same thing. And in that moment, the same way that God comforted you flows not just to you, through you, to that person. And here's why this is so important. Paul goes on in verse 5. He says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. As God ministers to us, over time, it becomes a part of our story. As he heals the scars don't go away. It's part of our story. The scars are there. But as we heal from that, it overflows into our lives. And when we do that, there's something that's really important that happens to you. There's something that really important is an invitation for you. When you experience the comfort of God, and then you turn around, and as God interacts your life and your story with others, you begin to have a personal ministry. A personal ministry. And this is one of the five things God uses to grow your faith. Now, a pet peeve of mine is that this word right here is somewhat reserved for people like me, as if we're the ministers and y'all aren't. That's an unbiblical approach. If you are a believer in Jesus, congratulations, you are in full-time ministry. I don't know what I need to do. If I need to do this, I'll do this, whatever it takes. Welcome to the kingdom. And each one of you have a personal ministry. And doesn't mean that necessarily you have to put a microphone and preach. That's a part of personal ministry, but you all have personal ministry. It's why when it comes to the church world, we love gathering on Sundays. But if it's come in, take a seat, consume, and then leave, I want to make sure that you understand that as much as we love gathering, at some point we want you to serve and have a personal ministry. Because what we understand is when we put you into the game, if you will, at some point, maybe someone that you serve or maybe that you were serving alongside become part of that story for you. And your story will connect with God's story and will connect to their story. And I want you to experience this. And here's why. When it comes to church world, you'll never experience what the church can do for you until you experience what the church can do through you. And many of you, let me change that. All of you, including me, have stories. We have strengths and we have gifts and we have great things. We have scars and we have tragedies and we have heartache. And all of that, God wants to comfort you so that you can turn around and comfort others. And that's why in our two churches, at our locations, we want to put you into the game of personal ministry so that you can allow those scars, those pains, those tragedies to be used by God, for God, and for the comfort and compassion for others. And what's so cool is that those very things that we think God could not use many times are the very things God uses the most. And in that, you know who gets the glory? That would be God. So what is it in your story that you don't think God could possibly use? And what Paul is saying is, if you don't think that can be used, imagine my story. I persecuted Christians and here I am. The greatest church planter, if you will, the world has ever seen. That's the power of God. Now, again, I see this all the time. Let me read you an email. I told you there are three preachers today. Paul, and then I want to read you an email from a friend of mine, Will Hopkins. Will and Gary Martin Hayes have been my son's small group leaders in Inside Out. And if this is your first time in any locations, I just want to warn you, anytime I talk about my kids, I start crying. Okay, so we'll get through this together. So a couple of years ago, Will Hopkins sent the parents of the small group this email. And I got Will's permission. I think he's at Hamilton Mill this morning. I got Will's permission to read this to you, okay? Because this is part of his scars. Because Will's got a lot of great things happening in his life. He and his wife, Emily, got a lot of great things happening, but it was the scar that God actually used in this moment. The subject line that he sent to us parents was internet pornography. And this is what Will said to this, the first line of his email, internet pornography. Parents, does that grab your attention? The word itself makes you cringe. These boys are starting to fight in one of the toughest battles they are going to fight. A few of our boys have asked me to help lead them in the battle for purity by going through the Conquer Bible series. I'm so proud of them for having the courage to want to do this. The topic of pornography, sex, purity, and all that surrounds that can be a tough and awkward conversation. I'm excited to partner with you parents in starting these conversations. I am by no means trying to take your place as parents in leading these conversations. I am hoping to just be a sounding board for them to discuss things that can be tough to talk about with your parents. I will always encourage them to have these conversations with you, but maybe this will help them feel comfortable having it with me. And here's where we begin to understand Will's story. The main reason I'm sending this is to let you know what we will be talking about and to let you know I'm available at any point. I hope this is not too much information, but I'm very passionate about this because it's been a 15-year struggle for me. I know the grasp it can have on a young man's mind and heart. I struggled from eighth grade until 3 years into my marriage. My life became a constant search for instant gratification, all of this being married and having two kids. Eventually, I hit rock bottom. In a pool of tears, I asked God to change my heart. It was a simple prayer, but the most authentic one I have ever prayed. God did not answer my prayer overnight, but he has been with me every step of the way, helping me in my fight. I truly believe that life change will happen with this group, not just for these four boys, but for their friends, their future girlfriends, their future wives, and their future kids. My four children will be influenced by what happens in this group, and I'm so grateful for that. I tell these guys all the time, never underestimate the amount of influence you have. Someone is always watching and listening. So parents, please join me in praying that God will fill that room with honesty, wisdom, and courage. I will be praying for God to change their hearts and give them faith in themselves to conquer this battleground and to lead this next generation. What Will is saying is what I thought God, something that God, that was a struggle that I didn't think God could use, was actually the thing that God is using right now. And as a parent, I told my wife, Wendy, the whole email, I was like, okay, how much do we have to pay? Because I'm ready to write the check right now. I don't care what it costs, I'm ready. This is amazing. This is a gift to me as a parent. But don't miss this. As Will has received comfort and healing from God, he now turns around and provides that same comfort to these boys. But these boys, these young men are going to go out into the world. And when they meet friends, and when they meet their future wives, and when they go out into the world, it's going to have a ripple effect that has compound interest. And here's what this looks like. This is what this looks like. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. So why do I say all that? I want you to experience this. And so many of you are experiencing this right now. But I want you to experience this. And here's how. This is an opportunity. All right, and this is great. This is great news, I think. Let me show you the opportunities that we have for many of you to step forward in two locations. This is our current volunteer needs at our two campuses. I'm not good at math, but I'm told this is 341 total volunteer needs for both locations. Now, when you see this, there's Wambaland, Upstreet Transit, Inside Out, and Guest Services. You see this, you're like, wow, that's a lot. And this is, here's the church saying we need people to serve. That's true. In fact, let me say this, though. If I don't ever get up here and say stuff like this, like, hey, we need more volunteers, you should be really, really concerned. Because when we're not growing as a church and we don't have to stand up here and go, we need 341 new, these aren't existing volunteers. These are 341 new volunteers. If that's not happening, it means that our vision is evaporating. And what this country needs, what this world needs, is more churches that are on fire and have a vision from our Heavenly Father that says, hey, guess what? We need more volunteers. Not only that, occasionally I need to get up and say, we need more money. Don't be concerned. That's another sermon for another day. So let's just stick here. Now, in a second, I'm going to tell you how to do this, and I've got a call to action. But don't miss this. This isn't just, we need those of you who aren't serving to help those who are serving. If you've been coming for a few months, I'm telling you, you will become disenchanted with this church if you don't step up and serve. Some of you, I totally understand this. You took a break from serving. I totally understand that. But it's been 7 years. It's time to get back engaged. But here's why I want you to see this just for today. And this is the God factor. This isn't the staff factor. We need to do our job to create great volunteer environments. But when you step up to serve, whether it's Wamba, Upstreet, Transit, Inside Out, Guest Services, Small Group, whatever it happens, as God has comforted your story, has impacted your story, when you have a personal ministry and you show up to serve, maybe it's in the parking lot, maybe it's in Wambaland, however it works, but that same way that God comforted you is the way that you will comfort someone else. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's how this works. But today I want to show you someone who that's their story. There was something in her life that she had concluded was something that God could never, ever use in actual. It was one of the things God used. In fact, we celebrated Courtney's baptism at Hamilton Mill 3 Sundays ago. And when I saw her baptism, I thought, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And an invitation for us to experience the things in our lives that we wish we could change. The things that maybe are just a part of our story. And yet we experience the power and the majesty of our Heavenly Father. And to see Him use this in someone else's life. Wow, that's the gospel. That's Jesus. And this is Courtney's story.
Hi, my name is Courtney Hall. I did not grow up in a Christian home. We went to church with my grandparents for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. After I got married, me and my husband would go to North Point occasionally, but after kids came along and everything, life went crazy and we just quit going. When we heard that a Gwinnett location was opening up, we couldn't wait. It felt like home, and our boys loved Wombaland. The first Christmas service of 2011, I took a candle and I gave my life to Jesus. Ever since then, I have wanted to get baptized, but making this video is what stopped me. As you can tell, I have a stuttering problem, so public speaking is extremely hard. Just thinking of everyone seeing and hearing me stutter brings on a lot of anxiety. Just before the summer of 2013, I felt Jesus put on my heart that I should serve, but I didn't know where. I didn't know where I could fit in because of my stuttering. I chose Upstreet because I love kids and they don't ever see a problem with my stuttering. In my women's small group, a couple months ago, a question was asked, what strength did God give you to help others? I felt Jesus put on my heart stuttering, and I can tell you that I would put stuttering as my biggest weakness. A couple years into our volunteering, we had a student come in that had a strong stutter, and it broke my heart. After church, I broke down, and my husband encouraged me to talk to him next week. In the beginning of class the next week, we spoke, and he felt encouraged that someone knew exactly what he was going through. See, kids in Upstreet, they might ask why I stutter, and I tell them, and they just say, cool, and they go on about their day. Kids are amazing, and they love everyone no matter what. But this gave me a bigger opportunity to show kids how God made us all just a tiny bit different. And you might just have to give us a tiny bit more time to talk and just some patience, because it takes me a little bit longer to get everything out. I think everyone in my women's small group was in tears, just like I was, and they encouraged me to share my story. I put in my request to get baptized, and I think I had a panic attack just thinking about making this video and all of you seeing and hearing me stutter. Gwinnett Church and Jesus have changed my life. Thank you to my husband, family, small group for all the encouragement and prayers, and all the Upstreet kids. I have had the pleasure to be your small group leader. You have made me the person I am today. I am so grateful that God used my stutter to grow my faith in Jesus. I am here today to let everyone know I am forever free.
Yeah. that amazing? I don't know how this works, but what I do know is that the power of God can say, Courtney, that stutter is actually something I'm going to use. And when she was growing up with that stutter, she carried it around with her. Maybe kids made fun of her. God was saying, hey, I'll explain later. I'm marking your days. I'll explain it later. Because there's a little boy up street at Gwinnett Church that's going to come your way. And there's no one at the church that can resonate with him quite like you can. And what Courtney said was, the way that God has comforted me, I never thought that what I thought was a weakness actually became my strength. I want that for you. I want God to leverage those scars. I want God to leverage those weaknesses. I want God to leverage those failures. But for that to happen, you and I have to follow Courtney's lead and Will's lead and the Apostle Paul's lead and step forward and serve. And we're giving you that opportunity today. So here's how this is going to work. At both of locations, you got these cards in front of you. I'd love for you to get these out. And we need over 340, 341. And here's what you're doing. You're not signing up to serve next Sunday. We value the people in these environments way too much for that to happen. You need to be trained. This is just an opportunity for us to contact you so that you can show up for an orientation. That's how this works. Then we sit down at Wombleland Orientation, if you will, and we talk to you about the role and how we plug you in and walk and guide you in that process. So what we're going to do is we're going to take 30 seconds as our call to action, and I'm going to ask everyone to fill this out. Now, many of you are already serving, so you don't have to fill this out. But you can pray for the folks that are going to fill this out. And for those of you that are serving, and if you don't see the people filling this out, just take their card and fill it out for them. Okay, that's how this works. All we're asking is your first name, your last name, your cell phone, and your email address. By the way, good penmanship will help, by the way. And we will contact you this week to allow you to help us take another step forward as a church. So Gwinnett Church, Hamilton Mill, let me just say this to you. Wow, what an amazing first year. But one of the things you need to know is that there are volunteers, in particular in Wombleland and Upstreet, that aren't able to come to church because they're having to serve both hours. If you've been coming for a few months, it's time for you to serve them by allowing them to just serve and then attend church. Don't just consume. Gwinnett Church, Sugar Hill, I mean, goodness, God is, look what God's doing. Even on a holiday weekend, look what's happening at both of our locations. So 30 seconds, what we're going to do, give you time to fill this out. And then you can just take these cards and give them to our wonderful guest services on the way out. You don't even have to pray about this. We've already prayed about this for you. Jesus says it is okay. Go ahead and fill out the card. 30 seconds, we'll close, and then we'll take another significant step toward what God has for us as a church. And then I can't wait to hear the stories of how God used both the good and the bad for his glory and for the comfort and compassion of others.